This is BFBS Esports Live with OJ Borge.
Indeed it is. Resplendent here in pair two of my three-pants rotation week. And here we are, yes indeed, for BFBS Esports Live. Live every Tuesday, 6:30pm UK time, bringing you the latest in esports news, plus chatting to some amazing guests from within and without of the forces. And I have to say, we're a week older since last week, a week colder as well, because if you think I'm here in some cushy broadcasting location, I have to say, it is so cold in our studio this afternoon that I'm sorely tempted to broadcast in my coat. But no, as a professional, I shall go through with it. So who are our guests on this show on this Tuesday? Well, I'm going to be joined by AS1 AJ Harrison from the RAF, who manages the Rocket League team. So he's got all the info on Insomnia, plus how to get involved in their weekly show matches, of which he hosts. We'll be talking as well to Daniel Gaskin, a friend of mine I've not seen since we were sat in a restaurant in a Copenhagen airport. The reasons for that, I actually can't remember. I'll ask him about it. But we're going to talk to him about FIFA and Apex. He's the living god king of both of those games. FIFA, for me, very interesting. One of the most played games in the world. But as an esport, it's taken a while to come together. First, though, let us play music for you here on BFBS. This is Let's Dance to Joy Division by The Wombats.
Something out last night that changed this little boy's brain. A small piece of advice that took 22 years in the make, and I will break it for you now. Please learn from my mistakes. Please learn from my mistakes. Let's dance the Joy Division and celebrate the irony. Everything is going wrong, but we're so happy. Let's dance the Joy Division and raise our glass to the ceiling, cause this could all go so wrong, but we're so happy. Take a taxi to the darker side of town. That's where we'll be, and we will wait for you and lead you through the dance floor up to the DJ booth. You know what to ask for, you know what to ask for. Go ask for Joy Division and celebrate the irony. Everything is going wrong, but we're so happy. Let's dance the Joy Division and raise our glass to the ceiling, cause this could all go so wrong. For a broken heart, let tear us apart. Let the love tear us apart. I found the cure for a broken heart. Let tear us apart.
The Wombats, and let's dance to Joy Division here on BFBS, the Forces Station. We've cracked. I've had to put my coat on, although I've been told to take my hood off as I talk to my first guest this evening. That is AS1 AJ Harrison. Is it warm where you are, AJ?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's freezing cold. I'm at Bryce Norton, but it's absolutely freezing.
And do you know what? You're not wearing a coat, so I'm going to take my jacket off. I'm going to get into the vibe of this. I don't need to wear a jacket indoor. So, AJ, it's been a while since we last spoke. When was it? It was back. I don't know. I don't know where you were. You just won something, though, the last time we spoke.
So it was. It would have been last year now, I think, coming to the end of last year. We were coming off of a successful Insomnia 69 yeah, that was an amazing tournament for us. Our first year really competing in a competitive tournament. But yeah, it was absolutely an amazing experience.
You did have a big old smile on your face, which you have right now, because Rocket League is going back to Insomnia. You're taking the team.
Yeah, I am. So since Insomnia 69, the whole Rocket League scene has just exploded. So we've managed to be able to get a few teams, I think two or three teams for I-70, which will be the weekend of April the 6th. So I'll be taking a few guys down there to compete for the I-70 tournament. And then obviously we've got the Insomnia 71, which is coming up in August, which again, I'll have a lot of teams for that to compete.
It's been a busy old year. Did you find people getting in touch with you off the back of your success at Insomnia 69?
Insomnia 69 was very good for us for publicity. We definitely got our names out. Not many people knew about the server or the team or RAF Esports in general, actually. But I think becoming a successful team and competing at a high standard and getting those high rankings enables us to, you know, bring in more people and publicity there. And that's 100% it did.
That's the point, isn't it? Success breeds visibility. Visibility breeds more people wanting to be involved, and it's all a glorious circle. 2 weeks ago, you were successful again because you won the Esports Glasgow Cup.
Yes. So my RAF blue team, my RAF Storm Shadows blue team, they wiped the floor with the competition. The whole competition, they were absolutely outstanding. But yeah, we've come away with a title there. All of the RAF team are still bragging about that in the chat, so I think it's definitely going to be something that's going to be spoken about for a while.
What was the biggest win?
It would have been brackets of five and then brackets in seven, but I think there was one bracket of five where they didn't let anyone score a goal past them. It was just constant 3-0s, 4-0s.
And you know, the thing is, though, I probably should have asked this at the top of the show, for people who've never played Rocket League before, because for me, I find it the most frustrating game ever. I'm always half a second behind where the ball is. I'm always about to do something amazing and something happens, made worse by the fact my brother is very good. For people who've never played Rocket League before, who are maybe listening to this, what can they expect if they dipped their toe in it?
Well, there's always going to be that higher competitive scene in any type of game. Let it be Rocket League, Call of Duty, and any sort of game. However, what we try to do in our community is embrace all ranks. So it doesn't matter if you've played less than 10 hours of the game or more than 1,000 hours of the game. There's always going to be room for competitions. I've got five teams, one of them being a development team. They are the lower rankings of the teams, but we still want to get them into competitions and have our community all playing together, not just the high rankings. But when you do get to the higher ranks, it's a very, very competitive game. And yeah, it does take a lot of strong will.
Yeah, because I guess that's the point. I guess a lot of people forget. I mean, I guess they listen and think, oh, esports, you know, I've played a little bit of this game. I definitely can't join a team. But it's like anything, you know, even if you are the worst footballer around, there'll still be a team which is for your level, because it's all about playing with friends. It's all about having that community of chatting to people, having that just that outpouring of ability to compete, however friendly it is at the time. What is it like then in the top tier? Who is in the top Rocket League team that you have?
So we've got Trinity, very, very strong player. All around, they're just absolutely phenomenal players. So I've got Trinity in my first team, Pierce in my first team, the captain, of course, Hopper, who is by far the strongest person I think I have in the whole server. So it's a very competitive team to get into. I've also just promoted one of the guys that was in the RAF blue team up into the RAF white team, Pokey Joe. Again, all of these players just absolutely all round, just so talented at the game. It's as if they don't really have an outside life.
And what a great name as well.
They're on the Rocket League grass more than they're on their actual grass.
Pokey Joe is a great name. Talk me through Tuesdays and Thursdays then. You've been hosting show matches.
Yes. So every single Tuesday and Thursday, without fail, we always host what we call a show match. It's pretty much like a scrim. So in the competitive scene, a scrim is just two teams going against each other to get some practice at that competitive level. Me and the team think that a scrim is more of a formal way of saying it. So we created these show matches to enable all of the teams to basically play each other on a set time date, and they can get experience in either playing against similar ranks or playing against the higher ranks. But every Tuesday and Thursday, we have the five teams involved with us. The Navy is involved. The Army is involved. And we also have a lot of friends outside of the military, certain esports organizations such as Leeds Nocturnal, who are a very, very strong partner in our relationship with the show matches.
I love this. Are you going to be streaming that? Is it streaming?
It is, yes. Yeah. So we have our own RAF Storm Shadows Twitch channel. We also do stream on the RAF esports channel, the main RAF esports, when it comes to tri-service events. We tend to use the show matches with our teams just involved with each other and, you know, the external orgs to play on our Twitch channel. But it's always streamed every Tuesday and Thursday, casted by Stelios, of course.
Of course. What time are you streaming it?
Normally kickoff is around about 8 o'clock.
All right, so I can finish this show up, get home, and I can watch. AJ,
absolutely.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Good luck when you go to Insomnia in a couple of weeks' time, and hopefully
thank
we'll speak
you
after that to find out how you got on.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, there you go. That is AS1 AJ Harrison talking about Rocket League. Love songs of all time in my mind. Love Fall from the Cardigans here on BFBS. We got guests. We got a brace of them. We go now to a man I call the Living God King of both FIFA and Apex as well. But really, he's more than that. He's someone who is so versatile. I have seen him work across so many esports titles as a host, as a commentator as well. It's Dan Gaskin. Dan, where in the world do we find you today?
Hello, mate. I'm at home. I'm in Melksham, which is near Bath or near Bristol, depending on where you really want to be in the United Kingdom.
And mate, I did say this when I was introducing you at the top, when I was mentioning you were coming on. The last time I saw you, we were in a sushi restaurant in Copenhagen for reasons I can't remember, both wearing eyeliner. Why was that?
We were doing a TV show together. And I think it was Halloween, so I think we were trying to be spooky. So we were like ghosts and we had mascara on. That's why.
Well, let's just say you look very good in eyeliner.
Thank you.
Mate, let's talk about FIFA then, because it's one of the games you work across right now. And football, you know, it's the world's game. FIFA, one of the most popular games in the world. But it's taken a while for competitive FIFA, for FIFA as an esports, to come together.
It has. I think that it's difficult for people watching to just naturally go along with a player that's playing a game of FIFA rather than it being a team. I think that with esports in general, you want to support someone that you're watching. But when it comes to FIFA, maybe the personalities haven't quite been there. There has been a few players that have really tried to put themselves out there and become that personality. But I think as a most part, people really lack being able to watch and support a team. But that is getting better because now teams are starting to include themselves a little bit more. I'm working on the EMLS at the moment, and the inclusion from the MLS and them like showing support from their clubs and everything like that is massive at the moment.
Because surely it makes perfect sense, which is if you're Manchester City, you are Barcelona, you are whatever, the Red Bulls in America. Which team's the Red Bulls? It is the New York Red Bulls, isn't it?
New York Red Bulls, yeah.
Then surely you would sign an esports player to play in whatever the FIFA league is to represent your club. And it's almost a ready-made audience for you there. That always made loads of sense to me.
And they have been trying that. I think one of the biggest problems is with FIFA, it changes so much year to year. So FIFA 19 is so different to FIFA 20. So a player who's good at FIFA 19 is not going to be that good at FIFA 20. So when you build those stories, you are signing a different player every year. And then to try and progress as a team, you're restarting every single year as well. So I think that the fan base then struggles to get behind the player. Because I think with the FIFA esports, it is more about the player rather so than the team because of the amount of changes that happens, because the player is always moving around. So you follow the player. When I'm commentating the EMLS, it's, you know, Paulo Neto is winning. It's not Atlanta United are winning for the most part. But I think that as years go by and as he progresses and as he stays for a few years, it is becoming a little bit more like teams now recognize they have to back someone for a year or two, if not more, just so then you can start to build that reputation.
Like proper sport, like very much like sport in itself. So here's a question then for you. So how does it work? I mean, I'm being slightly silly here, so sorry. But with FIFA, if anyone has ever played it, you get teams of differing levels. If you were going to play a Premier League game between Manchester City and whatever, Fulham in a different division, you would have teams which were different when it came to the, you know, the quality of the players and how quick they are, the rest of it. How, when it comes to a competitive match on FIFA, do you balance that out?
So FIFA uses the Ultimate Team mode, which is where you get the items, the cards, and then you build your own best team, basically. So you will get the best players from around the world, you will build that. And there are usually restrictions in competitive FIFA, so you can only have X amount of 90-plus players. And some leagues will say, for example, the Premier League will say you can only have, or you have to have 5 Premier League players in your team. So that can sometimes vary in where you're going to see the squad structure. But for the most part, yeah, it's played an Ultimate Team, so you don't have to worry about being Man City if you are playing for Man City. You may have Man City players, but you're not strictly set on using 11 Man City players. It is quite diverse in that you can use any cards, any items across the board.
What's the one most popular player? Who appears in every team?
R9, Ronaldo. He is. He's always there. I mean, he's just always been one of the best players and he is just a guaranteed goal scorer up front. So him and Hullet, I would say, are the two biggest players, the icons that get used the most.
How good are you? Do you ever get to play any of the pros?
So I used to, when we had competitive FIFA on Xbox, I was able to play a lot against the pros. And I'd say I'm pretty good. I used to play when I was younger, so I know how to compete at a high level. But now it's transitioned to PlayStation. I don't have a PlayStation, so I don't get to play against the pros as much. But I'm still at a good level where I think I could compete with them on my best day. Yeah,
it's been, you know, of all the games I've played in my life, FIFA's is the rage quit one for me. I'm not proud of this, but my brothers tell the story. I threw a PlayStation out of a window once because my brother beat me 9-1. It's not a proud story, but it's a story that, luckily, I had another PlayStation. It was a second-hand one. And then quickly, let's talk about Apex as well, because it's a game I fell in love with. Of all the Battle Royales, it's pretty wholesome. The meta's always been brilliant. The characters are great. Where is that as an esport?
It's actually at one of its best points right now. I think the player base is at its highest ever. I think it hit 500,000 concurrent on Steam It's just started a new season. We are into the Pro League now again for its, what, third year of Apex in terms of competitive nature. Obviously, we went through COVID and had to get through not having LANs, but it is booming. I think everyone loves watching it. The viewership's great. The players are enjoying it. Those of us who work on it are having a blast because just watching these games is so thrilling. I mean, as a commentator, I'm there losing my mind, and I love every single second of it. I mean, it can be a slow burner. Sometimes some of the games, you know, you get into it, everyone's dropping, everyone's getting their loot. But when you get into those final circles, there's nothing else like it. It's such a joy to watch.
I mean, I guess that's the thing, though, isn't it? When you watch Call of Duty, that is full on. It is nitro all the from the moment it starts to the moment it ends. The beauty I find of battle royales is you have those quiet moments, you have those setting moments, you have those tactics, which if you are not somebody who's used to watching an esport, especially not something like Apex, it gives you time to explain what's going and what the strategies are.
Yeah, I think storytelling as well, it's huge to have those moments at the start of the game to talk about which team is where? Where are they going to be moving to? Which teams are they going to have to fight for certain locations? Are they going to be playing a composition that allows them to push for the late game? Are they going to be looking for kills in the early game? And it's great. Honestly, everything about Apex right now, I think, is just getting better and better. I love the support from Respawn as well. One of my favorite games to commentate for sure. And I mean, just playing it like this season, I've played far much more than I have as they've added a new rotation scheme for the maps. So you can play every map each day. It changes, so you're not stuck to just one map throughout the entire season. It's been brilliant.
Dan, I could talk to you forever, but we've run out of time. Thank you so much. I hope to see you again in a sushi restaurant soon.
I would love to. Cheers,
Andy. Cheers, Daniel Gaskin there, talking to me about FIFA and Apex. We'll be right back. number here on BFBS. We've got time for one tiny little bit of news. I say tiny, could be massive. Following an NVIDIA driver update, the floodgates have opened on speculation about a sequel or update to 2012's Counter-Strike. But is CSGO 2 real? The most obvious change for any new version of Counter-Strike would be an upgrade to the Source 2 engine. CSGO currently runs on the original one, which, although updated over time, dates back as far as 2004. Now, it's unlikely, as we understand, it's going to be a new game. Rather, it will simply be a CSGO as we know it, but using the Source 2 engine. Think of it as a major update to the existing game, which will have better graphics and optimization. One song to take us out. This is New Radicals. You Get What You Give. Great one-hit wonders here on BFBS. And thank you for listening to this Esports Live. Our time here is done again for another week. Thank you to AJ Harrison talking to us all about the RAF and their Rocket League team and their hopes for Insomnia. Thank you as well to Dan Gaskin telling us all about FIFA and Apex as well. If you've never played Apex, and it is one of those Battle Royale games, and maybe you are Battle Royale, absolutely recommend it. It is a great, great, great game. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you to my guests. As I said, if you missed Esports Live, you can catch up again by going to bfbs.com/esportslive. And here again on Sunday afternoon, 12:30. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. We'll see you then. Thank you so much for listening.
On air, online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS. The Forces Station.